Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
What up, Mark? How you doing, man?
Hey, it's a good day here in the Draft House. How you doing?
I'm great. It's a good day over here outside of the Draft House, over in, the Draft Outhouse. That's the name of my studio.
You know, that's where you stay, is the Draft Outhouse.
The Draft Outhouse.
Anyways, before we get into what we watch this week, got to plug some music. And here for the month of February 2024, we're giving a shout out to the one-man band, Troy. That's Troy Doherty, if you're looking him up on YouTube, with his song Gemini. And Jeff, did you have a chance to peruse the musical selection for this month?
I have not yet, because this, as of this recording, new episode came out today. Yeah, I did hear it.
Right, okay. What did you think?
I enjoyed it very much.
Okay,
good.
Yeah. All right. It's hard to keep track of what day is what, but
well, I think actually what happened was I watched the YouTube video, and the YouTube video doesn't have music.
That's true.
That's why I thought I hadn't heard it.
That's true. It doesn't have music. Damn it, YouTube. Anyways, we appreciate Troy Doherty, who goes by the name of Troy, show name. Band name, so you can find him at Troy on all the social medias. But hit the show notes, get links to all of his social media accounts, his website, Spotify. His music is everywhere. He's doing big things. We appreciate him allowing us to use his music here on our podcast. Jeff,
yes, sir.
What did we watch this week?
Well, this month, my friends, is. Let me remember how we phrase this.
Yep.
It is Adam, Eve, and Steve Romantic Comedy Month.
That's correct.
And so we watched, and I'm just going to use the adjectives that
I can't wait.
IMDb uses.
Yep, yep.
The drama romance, which I'll be hard-pressed to call this a romance. And I'll also be hard-pressed to call it a marriage story. The movie Marriage Story from 2019, it won an Oscar, the Oscar-winning film by Noah Baumbach, starring Scarlett Johansson, and Adam Driver.
We'll get into that. But
Well, I didn't mean to pun by it. It just happened on accident. But
no, she is Scarlett Johansson in this movie.
Yeah, the short hair is, I guess, what you're talking about. But there's also a lot of comedic actors doing what I would call cameos. Some of them more obscure than others, which I don't know if you noticed or you probably didn't. Are you a Conan O'Brien fan?
I mean, no.
Did you watch the show?
No.
Specifically the late night with Conan O'Brien?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with Triumph, the insult comic dog?
Yes. The one with the cigar in his mouth.
Yes. The mediator, the very first mediator they see in the office, with kind of the slightly male pattern baldness, glasses.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Robert Smigel. That's the voice of Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Which is wild, but I mean, that's what I would expect.
Yeah, as well, I guess the other two big actors would be Laura Dern and Alan Alda, as they play a more sizable role. Wallace Shawn is in this, who might know mostly as Inconceivable from The Princess Bride. He's in this movie as well. And I think that's most of the ones I picked up on. Julie Haggerty. Who is, I know from Airplane. She's one of the leads in Airplane. So, and I think that's it.
So this movie was nominated for 5 Academy Awards. 6, I'm sorry. 6 Academy Awards. It was nominated for Best Motion Picture of the Year. It was nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, Scarlett Johansson. It was nominated for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role, Adam Driver. Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, Laura Dern. Best Original Screenplay, Noah Baumbach. And Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures by guess who?
Randy Newman.
You got a friend in me, Randy Newman.
Yep.
All right, I mean, let's go.
That's good pedigree there. So who won? It says there was one win.
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern won hers. Okay. Yeah.
So
she's great. So I mean,
all the performances in this film are very good. Yes. So let's not bury the lead here.
Okay.
We got contentious in the text a little bit prior to this week.
It was even pre-text. Let's even back all the way up to when you drafted Marriage Story.
Okay.
And I said that is not a comedy.
Okay.
Because I'd seen trailers, I was familiar enough with the film, I'd seen some clips, and I'm like, that's not a comedy. That is very much a drama. And you're like, no, it's funny. I was like, maybe I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I watched the film.
Film's funny.
It is not funny.
It is funny.
I didn't even find a lot of attempts at humor. There were a couple.
I'm showing my phone to the screen right now where I took notes of all
of
the...
That's fine. We're going
to
get into your notes, but I'm just going to state my case going into this debate, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
That I did not laugh a lot during the film. The only gag that I kind of chuckled at was after Halloween, he had noticed his son got a lighter, and he's like, who the hell gave you a lighter? I thought that was a little funny, but that's as close as it got to being humorous. Now, I will say there are some comedic relief. Julie Haggerty tends to be pretty funny as the mother of Scarlett Johansson.
Alan Alda.
To a lesser degree. I think he's all right, I guess. I mean,
Wallace Shawn.
Who?
Wallace Shawn.
Yeah. I didn't really find any of it stuck out as particularly funny. Now, let me also say this. If a drama has some humor in it, that does not make it a comedy.
Right. I agree with you. I don't think this... I don't... All right. Finish your thing and then I'll get into mine.
Well, and I also want to point... Well, no, because what my next statement really is based on what you're going to say. Whether you still... After having watched this, if you still decide that you're going to call this a romantic comedy or not. So I've said my piece. I don't think it's a comedy. And I didn't find it to be a funny film. And I didn't find it to attempt to be funny throughout the bulk of the film enough for me to want to give it the title of comedy.
Okay. So this movie was written and directed by Noah Baumbach. All right.
Okay.
He is a writer he's a writer by trade. But he's directed several other things. Most notably, actually Marriage Story is probably his most notable movie, but he directed the movie Kicking and Screaming in 1995. Anyways, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's pretty good.
That's a soccer movie with Will Ferrell.
No.
What's the one with Will Ferrell?
That is Kicking and Screaming, but that is not this Kicking and Screaming.
Oh, okay.
That movie was pretty good too, though.
I was like, hey, that might give you some weight in your argument if he directed a film with Will Ferrell.
So Noah Baumbach also wrote Barbie, which we reviewed. Last year, and his comedy is it's not like real in your face, right? The stuff in Barbie, there was several moments in Barbie where you're like, ah, oh, that's funny.
There's a lot of moments in Barbie where you say, oh, that's funny. But that film is going for comedic reactions.
Yes, I agree. But I also believe that it's the performances in Barbie that make it stand out.
Sure, but I'm arguing whether or not it's a comedy.
Right.
And
it is. I would put it
firmly in a comedy. I think it's a funny movie, and I think they're attempting to be funny throughout the film.
So this film, Marriage Story, is not a romantic comedy. Okay. I'm gonna concede it to you.
And I'm not gonna rub it in, but
okay.
Let's pause because right. my checkmate, if you will, was going to be the fact that last week you had a hard time calling that a romantic comedy. And that movie had more attempts at humor than this, in my opinion.
Right. No, it's,
and I agree with you. This is not a romantic comedy.
It's not. However, I laughed. There is a lot, and I said it to you in the text. I said there is a lot of what I would call deadpan humor in this film. There's a lot of just flat Affleck jokes that are meant to not fill space, but are told in a setting where it's just the joke, and then you're just left sitting with it. And the main scene that I find that held the most comedic value in this film was the kitchen scene where Scarlett Johansson, her sister, and her mother are waiting for Adam Driver to come, and they're debating how they want to hand him the divorce paperwork.
Right.
So and
the sister, someone other than Scarlett Johansson has to be the one to serve
right
the divorce papers. And then there's like a whole, I would say, attempt at comedy around that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find it in my notes here. I just made the note of whole conversation with Scarlett Johansson and her sister and her mother in the kitchen about certain papers. I didn't make like detailed notes, but like that whole scene was funny to me, I believe it's meant to be funny. I believe that scene is meant to, the sister is the comedic real comedic relief. In the scene, and the mother is kind of like 1B, and then Scarlett Johansson's meant to be the voice of reason. But like,
I think too, that scene that I do think they were going for humor, but I also think that scene really ramped up a level of that's the word, suspense almost, that
sure.
You knew, like, they set up pretty firmly that he's going to get served divorce papers in this scene, and it really just lingers on it and lets you kind of sit in it. And there's a lot of time going by where he's almost looking at the picture. He's next to them. He doesn't quite see them. And it just kind of keeps doing that. And I found it to be, for me, a much more suspenseful scene.
Sure.
At that point, because it was the start of the drama.
And you're right. And that's good. That's good writing. That's good storytelling. It's because Adam Driver, I mean, Scarlett Johansson and their son are out in Los Angeles, and Adam Driver just flew in, and he's unsuspecting. They've been having problems. They've gone to marriage counseling and whatnot, and have kind of just decided that they were just going to do this split, you know, amicably and not get lawyers involved. And so he comes in, and he's got a great relationship with Scarlett Johansson's mother, and
she loves him.
She loves him, right,
almost as much as her own daughter.
Sometimes, I mean, the film is meant to provide that, like, they probably have a better relationship, right?
And the mom's on the phone with Adam Driver giving him a recommendation.
Right. So there is a lot of humor meant, and I think it is purposely done to show that this everyday occurrence, this very normalized thing in relationship culture today, divorce, is sad and humorous and frustrating and unsuspecting. And it's just it, and I felt like that scene encapsulated all of those feelings pretty perfectly, even though, like, I mean, I've been married for 18 years now. You've been married a long time.
About that, actually.
Yeah.
What year did you get married? 05?
06.
I got married in 06.
My wife.
I won't tell. I won't tell. I know what year I got married, though, but I won't say anything.
I was 07.
Okay. Oh, so you were, okay. Right.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say how many years you've been married then. We're just going to keep moving on and pretend you were correct.
Yep. But I mean, you know, I've been around divorce in my childhood. I don't remember if you have in your childhood, but
yeah, my parents divorced when I was
right
2, and my dad has been divorced 4 times and my mom twice. So yeah.
Right. So it's a very normalized thing, right? It's not just this something that happens every now and then. It is, I forget the statistic, but it's an alarming statistic in marriages.
50% usually, a little higher.
And that's alarming. Why would you get married if over 50% of people get divorced? It's ridiculous. But how this film just kind of, and now a lot of this is very, these two are very successful people. Adam Driver's a successful Broadway play director, and Scarlett Johansson is a successful actress who is now transitioned to the stage because of Adam Driver. And so, like, I feel like the film tries to bring an everyman component to their relationship by making it seem like these are two just very ordinary people, even though they're not. But and I feel like their relationship probably plays out very similar to a lot of people's relationships that end up getting divorced. And I did take notes, but I stopped like 3/4 of the way through because I was like, this is ridiculous. But
yeah, I don't blame you. I used to take notes for movie reviews, but I stopped enjoying the movies as much.
Right, right.
And I'm like, maybe. And so, yeah, I agree. You don't need
to
take notes.
I do concede that this is not a comedy. If anything, it's a dramedy because of the comedic elements. Just like last week, I would consider that a dramedy. With Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. But and that film was outwardly more funny. But I think the writing in this film allows certain moments to strike a comedic tone that allows you to kind of chuckle at what's going on screen. It's because it seems ridiculous. And the conversations they have are ridiculous, but they're very real conversations. Like later on in the movie where Scarlett Johansson goes to Adam Driver's apartment and they have their big blow up there. And it's a very play. It almost
you found
like it,
humor in that scene.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that scene wasn't comedic,
right?
But how it was portrayed, like it's a stage scene. Like you're watching a scene play out on stage.
I can see that, yeah.
Where each character is giving kind of monologues, you know, one at a time. There's not a lot of back and forth. And then, you know, how Adam Driver falls to the ground and hits the wall. It's just very, I could see where somebody would be like, oh, that's overacting or that's over-dramatized. When really, I think what was trying to be portrayed there, or what I got out of it was, you know, this is their life in an act of a play. I don't know, man. This is a good movie. I think you feel the same way, and I'm gonna let you talk here, but
you're gonna let me finish.
I want to know what you thought of the movie. And I know, like, we set out, we were going to banter back and forth about this being a comedy, but I don't really want
when you concede.
Right. I don't want to do that. It's because I feel like
we'd be like, yeah, man, fucking Tom, you just go on and on. No.
Well, I feel like we'd be doing this movie a disservice because what this movie is and how it's done and it's told and it's really good. And I want to know what your thoughts on it are.
Yeah. This is another movie. And it's something that you and I have in common where you watch a lot of movies now that I recommend that you would never, ever turn on. Right. I think you said that about The Lonely Guy, you know, I would never watch this, which I believe, and I would have never watched this. I had seen clips. I've heard some reviews and largely had no interest in watching someone's marriage fall apart for 2 hours. I did say, and kind of at the top, kind of lead into, I think this should be called Divorce Story, because you don't get to see them get married. You don't really get to see the good. You pretty much come in right at the tipping point. And then what happens is the divorce. I think, and I don't know anything about Noah, whatever his name is, Braubach or Bachemeyer.
Yep.
Oscar Meyer. I don't know. But I feel like he's got to be a child of divorce and or has been through a divorce himself.
Yeah.
And he hates lawyers. Because the characters, when they start getting their divorce, they're very much an amicable thing, right? They're still living in the house together. And, you know, she's saying, hey, I'm going to go sleep in the room. He's like, hey, I'll sleep on the couch. And they're just trying to work out the fact that this is over. And they agreed no lawyers. And they're going to try to do this as amicably as possible. Well, I forget who. Someone recommends, a coworker or someone, that she get a lawyer, and she knows one who's Laura Dern. And that's when the movie really starts to get moving. And that's when the bitterness comes out. And it's really interesting because there's a lot of times on both sides of this divorce where the lawyers, Ray Liotta being one of them, loved Ray Liotta in this, his little
R.I.P.
big part.
R.I.P.
Yeah,
Ray
rest
Liotta.
In peace, Ray Liotta. And Laura Dern does a better job of pretending, and I'm going to say pretending.
Oh yeah,
to be in her corner, being Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, she pretends to care. The whole first scene where, and I made a note of it.
Notes.
Yeah. So when Scarlett Johansson first meets Laura Dern's character, Laura Dern says, hey, and she crawls on the couch with Scarlett Johansson as, like, Scarlett Johansson's kind of getting emotional.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, call me whenever, but not when I'm with my kids. They come first.
So that scene, I want to say,
like, I was like, why would you tell somebody that?
Maybe it's just me. I got, like, slight lesbian vibes there, and that could just be me. Like when she gets on the couch and cuddles up next to her and takes her shoes off and gets in her personal space.
I'm opening up a tab right now.
I don't blame you.
I never thought about that, but
it did for me. But I also, you know. Anyway, we're not going to get into my
I get it.
Psychoses, but that's what I was kind of getting out of that scene. I was like, uh-oh. What's happening here?
Well, she tells, and so Laura Dern tells Scarlett Johansson that, hey, I've been in your shoes. I've been through a divorce, all this. But like, that's another comedic line that's meant to just be this kind of, this, in my opinion, this deadpan humor where she's like, hey, call me whenever you want. I'm here for you. Just not when I'm with my kids. Like Scarlett Johansson would know when the fuck she's with her kids.
So let's contrast that to Ray Liotta. So yeah.
Who is enormously funny in this film.
Oh, I agree. Like that, I think that scene, and then his like little help, or her, maybe her little helper, there's a couple scenes where, like, the... Anyway, I'm getting off track. Let's talk about Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
So now Adam Driver has to get his own lawyer because he's not capable enough to fight Laura Dern in court. And Laura Dern, even though she, I think she is less bloodthirsty than Ray Liotta because she is willing to work with Alan Alda at that point. But so he goes to Ray Liotta and Ray Liotta goes right for the jugular. He talks about, has her mom got money? We could actually probably get some of that for you too, you know, and he's just worried about the money and getting as most as he can and winning. And I think the theme here in this movie is winning.
Yeah.
Who's trying to win? And Ray Liotta is the extreme of that. And then it comes back to, like, there's a scene where, so he can't get Ray Liotta because he's too expensive. And Ray Liotta, again, is too cutthroat. Like, he, the things that Ray Liotta says to Adam Driver, he's like, I'm not interested in that. I don't, I'm not trying to bury my wife. You know, I just don't want to get ran over.
Right.
And, but Ray Liotta just wants to win. And then, you know, Alan Alda talks about, you know, so the big dispute is whether they live in New York or L.A. And Alan Alda says, well, actually, if it weren't that, it'd be a house. It'd be a car. It'd be something. You know, there's he's seen enough divorce to know that if there's always one thing that you want to win. Right. That's sure. That's how I know I've won. And then even at the near the end of the movie, after they've settled and everything, Laura Dern says, hey, I got you 51% custody. And she's like, what? Yeah, you get an extra day a month or whatever. She's like, I didn't ask for that. And she's like, well, I didn't want him thinking he had won.
Right.
And it's just like this pettiness of winning and what it does to the families is what is really the villain here. That if they can be at a place where they can talk things out and work it out, because it's eventually Adam Driver's just has to deal with it. And he ends up moving to LA anyway, by the end of the film. So I think to me, like, that element of it was so well done and a good, I love a good theme. And that theme was properly laced throughout the film. And I think that that's what made me really like the movie. There are also, like I said, a lot of scenes of sort of suspense, even to, like, one of the deadpan humor things that I can really get behind is when the court-appointed liaison or whoever is in Adam Driver's house.
Oh, yeah.
And she is deadpan. Like, can I have a glass of water? And everything she does is just really subdued. And I do believe that was played up for humor. But in those moments, there's like he's trying to perform as well as possible in front of this woman. And he notices the broken drywall where he had punched the wall before. What does that look like? And all the little things that he does that he knows she's watching and seeing. I thought that was a really good scene that ended with the cut on the arm. You know, I think in that moment, that's kind of when he gave up because he knew he was kind of fucked at that point and went back to Alan Alda, I guess.
Yeah, it's this film is like, and I agree with you, the theme of winning is very predominant throughout. And Alan Alda kind of represents the good in the movie. He is kind of that character that is meant to be maybe the north, you know, pointing north on a compass, right?
Yeah, I mean, like Adam Driver, when he meets him after he's talked with several lawyers, including Ray Liotta, he's like, I feel like you talk to me like I'm a human.
Right.
Because Alan Alda goes through a lot of, like, you got a kid, we're going to try to do this as best we can. I don't want any, like, he really,
well, he keeps telling him, you got to think of your kid. You got to think of your kid. And,
right. And he really tries to do right by everyone in the situation. And I think in a lot of ways, he's not trying to win.
Right. Right. Right? Yeah. And Alan Alda, essentially when he finds out that Laura Dern is representing Scarlett Johansson, he goes, okay, there's no winning here.
Yeah, I can't beat her.
Right.
So let's settle. This is the best we can do. And he's right. Because even when he goes and gets Ray Liotta, Ray Liotta treats him like shit the whole time, you know? And I don't even think Ray Liotta was able to win, right? Like, I think that Laura Dern was going to beat his ass. So, yeah, I thought that that whole sequence was great.
The in one of the best scenes of the film is Ray Liotta and Laura Dern going back and forth in the courtroom. I mean, it's very good. It's very fast paced. It's very dialogue driven, but fast dialogue.
You know what
very
it reminded me of to a degree, and maybe it's just because it's a courtroom divorce scene. But in Mrs. Doubtfire, when the lawyer or the judge is like raining down at the end of the movie, he's telling Robin Williams how bad of a parent he thinks he is and that he's got all these issues, and he's sitting there and he's like, and then you know, he meets up with his ex-wife later and he's like, you knew what he said was wrong and you didn't say anything. And that happens on both sides here in this scene, where both the lawyers are saying things that their clients don't even believe, and they start chiming in on the alcoholism. And she's like, I'm not an alcoholic. And he doesn't even really believe that she is. But it's leverage. And Adam Driver's character gets felt like he's pushed up against the wall to do this. So, you know, and I felt like their initial agreement of she's not looking for child support. She just, like, basically all she really wants is to live in L.A. with her son. And he wouldn't have to pay child support. And they, like, they had something that I felt was a fair deal, just off the cuff, you know. But it, again, that was that winning thing that kept coming back.
So let me ask you this, that we've, you know, talked about, you know, a north pointing character. Who's your protagonist here?
I want to say Adam Driver.
Okay, good. So thank you.
I think that because he has the most conflict, right?
Yes.
And I think they both get equal time, but I think his story is more interesting.
His story is more interesting, and she is, Scarlett Johansson's character is painted in a more negative light.
I don't know about that.
Well, like, she takes a lot of the hard-edged decisions.
She's the first to get an attorney.
Right.
And that definitely starts the problems. And I think she needed to, right? Or felt that she needed to, mostly because as you learn about their dynamic, she always feels like she's giving in, right? He wants to live in New York. I'm giving in. Hey, I've got this chance to do this show in LA. And he turns down a job there that keeps them in New York as opposed to LA. And she's always the one, or at least she feels like she's always the one compromising. And so when it came to this divorce, she may have felt she needs someone to keep her from compromising, but to actually get the things that she wants out of their divorce. So I could see why she felt the need. I agree that she maybe is portrayed more as not the bad guy, but because we spend so much time with Adam Driver, and Adam Driver seems to be going through a lot more hardship, because what you see is Scarlett Johansson's in this really nice house that her mother owns, and they're living, and it's great, and it's this really big house. And then you go to Adam Driver's little shit apartment, right?
Right.
And so, and he's, when he gets the kid, he doesn't have great times with the kid. So in a way, I felt like that kind of made him look like more like the bad guy, because he was so still focused on getting this play together in New York.
But he makes a lot of decisions, a lot of like well thought out decisions that revolve around the kid. And the main one that's predominantly portrayed is Halloween. You know, Scarlett Johansson gets gets the kid for the majority of Halloween, and Adam Driver, anticipating that his son's going to want to continue to trick-or-treat, dresses up in full the Invisible Man costume, which was looked really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, just has this terrible time because his kid, like, he got his kid like 9 o'clock at night and his kid's ready to go to bed.
And he didn't take his son actually into consideration there, because that was him again trying to win, because
sure,
I had,
he wanted to have
plans,
the best time and he wanted to have the best
out.
Time.
And now he's actually running his kid out when his kid doesn't want to go out, you know? And I think there were several moments like that where he wants to be a ninja because all of his cousins are going to be ninjas and I want to trick or treat with my cousins. Okay. You know, it's kind of a bummer that he doesn't get invited along, Adam Driver, but, you know, it's kind of divorce for you.
Yeah. What leads me to the, I think what really paints the protagonist and antagonist here is the opening monologue by both characters, where they're given a task by their marriage counselor of, hey, write the nicest things you can about each other. And they each, you know, it's a voiceover of kind of a montage of the best moments of their marriage. And Adam Driver's voiceover is overly nice towards Scarlett Johansson. And when Scarlett Johansson's voiceover, it's more sarcastic. And it's more meant to be like, yeah, he's kind of an idiot, but I like him. And I think that's the moment to me where I was like, okay, this movie wants us to get on the side of Adam Driver. Even though there's things that are done along the way where we find out that Adam Driver was cheating on Scarlett Johansson, you know, that paint him in a negative light, but
and then he says
he redeems that himself.
He was already
by
sleeping
yes.
on the couch at that point, right?
Right, right. So. And so, like, then at the time that you're like, oh, okay, well, hey, maybe that's not so bad. And so, I really feel like Noah Baumbach wrote Adam Driver's character to be the sympathetic kind of anti-hero in this fucked up telling of a relationship, and I think it started from the first scene of the movie, and by the end of it, I felt bad for Adam Driver. You know, I felt bad. He's, you know, he goes to pick up his kid at the end of the movie. And this lady who he clearly loved, still loves, bends over and ties his shoe, like
really effective moments. Like, that's a great moment. I like that moment too, and I'm going to talk about another movie in a minute, but another moment I really like is even beforehand, like when like early in the film where she's like, you want to give me a note, don't you, about the play she was just in, and she humors him and everything, but as soon as she turns the corner down the hall, she kind of breaks down quietly and is crying, and it's like it tells you the complexity of divorce. And that she's getting what she wants. She wants this marriage to end. And still she mourns the marriage at the same time. It's not as cut and dry as I hate you and I want to be away from you. But choosing herself in that moment, I thought was really effective.
And I think that, and you're right. A really good scene. But I think that's probably the crux of divorce, right, is that, you know, the realization that the person that you once loved, you once had this relationship with, you once built this family with, you no longer want that. And I thought, like, and Scarlett Johansson, she's a great actress. Mm-hmm. She portrays so much in just different emotions, and it's not always just words, it's facial expression, it's it just looks in the eyes and, you know, like a disgust look when they're in mediation of things that are being said. And even though I do think the film wants us to pick a side, they want somebody to win. That's the theme. You know, Noah Baumbach wants people to think somebody won here. And I just couldn't get myself to be like, it's Driver versus Scarlett Johansson. And I felt like Driver got probably the more depth a little bit. But at the same time, Scarlett Johansson acts her ass off and allows the viewer to sympathize with her and create that conflicting emotion of, well, wait a minute, am I supposed to be rooting for her? and so that's it's a really good dynamic. And I by the end of the movie, I was sad for Drivers because, like, the act at the end of the movie, she still cares for this man. And how does that look when you're holding your kid and this woman that you loved is showing you an act of affection? I just, man, it's weird to think about.
Well, I think too, is it shows, hey, it's going to be okay. Like, they don't hate each other.
Right.
So my parents got divorced when I was 2. And at some point my dad realized he fucked up, to be honest, is what happened. And my mom actually, as she moved from further south up to here to where we live now, she spent a little time living in my dad's house with us, and they got along fine. I don't think my mom has ever been like, woohoo, Jeff Sr., my dad, but they got along. And my dad eventually came around and be like, wow, your mom's great. I shouldn't have divorced her. But that they got along, though, right? So my parents divorced when I was 2. I've never seen them fight that I can remember. And I think that's kind of like shows like they're going to be able to work through this and have kindness for each other. So when my dad did die, my mom was still surprised about how much it affected her. Because she's like, he's the father of my kids. You know, we do have this history, and she's been divorced from him for, you know, what? I have to do math now, 40 years, 30 years or whatever. So I really appreciate that element of the movie. And it reminded me of another movie I saw. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called People, Places, Things. It stars Regina King and Jermaine Clement. It's really good. I really liked it, but there's a scene near the end of the movie where Jermaine Clement's ex-wife is like crying and lamenting that their marriage went bad, or that they had a bad marriage. And Jermaine Clement says, we didn't have a bad marriage. We had something good. And then it just wasn't good anymore. And I just appreciate that level of forgiveness of yourself, of your spouse, and moving forward, even though your relationship isn't what it used to be, that doesn't mean because it ended in divorce that it was bad even.
Right.
I like that sentiment, and I think that this movie does a good job of doing that, illustrating, hey, these aren't bad people. There really isn't a bad person or a good person. They're just two different people now. And that's okay. And they can still be friends. And I think the movie did a good job of displaying that.
Yeah. All right. It was, Jeff, I think we
did we do successful, it?
I think we successfully
I didn't even
did
yell.
It.
I didn't even get to yell. This is bullshit.
It's good. That's what happens. Hey, that's what happens when we watch good movies. Do you recommend this one?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really good. I wasn't bored. I mean, that's like the lowest possible bar, but I really thought I was going to be bored out of my mind watching this movie. And it was really good, really relatable. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, it's...
How about you? You recommend it? You always get mad when I don't ask back. Do you recommend this, Mark?
I do. You know, for a 2-hour and 20-minute movie, like you said,
it doesn't feel that long.
Right,
to me.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, and so it's entertaining throughout. I found myself, you know, thumbing through Noah Baumbach's, you know, filmography, both as a writer and a director, and I kind of want to watch more, just to see what other stories he's told, because, you know, this one, like you said, is very relatable, and when a movie is relatable to the viewer, in my opinion, that's when you kind of transcend the plane of, hey, I'm just looking to be entertained, and it's something that speaks to you in an experience that maybe you've had in your life. And when a movie is so relatable that you can be like, shit, yeah, that was like my parents, or shit, that was like my marriage, or, you know, it's just, movies are great, bro.
Some of them,
you know,
some of them,
right. We've watched movies that have not been great. But just the art of making a movie like this, and how a story like this can be told, and just kind of make everybody seem like, hey, they're both the bad guy and the good guy, and at the end of the day, that's okay, is because people have good days and they have bad days. It's just, I mean, it like movies like last week, you know, bring out emotions, and sometimes those emotions are real, and because you've lived them, or, you know, you've experienced something similar, and this is that type of movie. And I'm glad we watched it. I'm glad it didn't hit the theme. It's not
it
a
happens.
Comedy.
Right? My only difference between this and last week's movie was I called this one.
Right. But, you know, but sometimes things are meant to be, right? And I think, you know, watching this movie, we wouldn't have watched it any other way. And I'm grateful that we did, is because I really enjoyed this conversation about it. You know, every now and then we get really good reviews of films. And I feel like this was one of them.
Yeah. Don't let it happen again.
I won't. Jeff, what are we watching next week?
All right, so next week, you know me, we're going back to the past, 1987. We're going to watch more. I've been on a Steve Martin kick lately. Recently, I rewatched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, watched The Lonely Guy with you. We're going to watch Roxanne, and I just watched The Man with Two Brains, which I highly recommend if you're a Steve Martin fan and you haven't watched it. The Man with Two Brains, really funny slapstick comedy. But,
you know what that'd be good for? A 5-minute review. Anyways, go ahead. I'm just saying, it's been a while.
Yeah. Sometimes I just want to watch something to watch it. I know for you that it comes a lot easier to do the 5-minute reviews. It comes more naturally to you. For me, it feels like the setup and the execution is a lot of times, unless it's something I really, really want to talk about, is a little hard.
That's okay.
That's
okay.
Why you don't see him as much. But
that's fine.
And when I don't have anyone to cross-pollinate with, if you will, it feels less fun.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I get it.
So we're going to watch Steve Martin classic along with Daryl Hannah, Shelley Duvall, Fred Willard, and Damon Wayans, which I didn't realize Damon Wayans was in this. The film is Roxanne from 1987.
Yeah. And if you want to follow the podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, we're at Movie Draft House. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, right here on YouTube where you're watching us. And if you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to hit the subscribe button when it pops up. So you don't miss any future content right here on the podcast. And don't forget, the podcast releases weekly every Thursday on your favorite podcast streaming platform.
Rain or shine. Heart attack or otherwise.
Yep, that's true. You're living proof. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which you said is dying, and then
it's
YouTube.
It's dying.
So anyways, if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, and tell him, hey, man, it's okay. You've got four stepmoms. Great.
No, three. Do your math. Four divorces equals three stepmoms.
That's awesome.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Find
one day we'll get into the story of my stepmoms and my stepdad for that matter. Like, my parents nailed it on the first try and then fucked it the rest of the way. My mom was smart enough after the second one to be like, you know what, this shit ain't for me.
That's
my
it.
My dad, on the other hand, just kept trying.
Well, listen, man, that's perseverance. Anyways, find Jeff on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff.
And if you want to get in touch with Mark and tell him, hey, I really appreciate your honesty on the podcast this week, you could do so on Twitter at I Heard You Liked.
Yeah. Once again, we give a shout out to our musical guest this month, the one man band from New Jersey. He goes by Troy. His name's Troy Doherty. Hit the show notes, get all the links to his social media accounts, website. He's doing big things. I believe he's on tour right now.
Nice.
So make sure you're throwing him support. We appreciate him. Allow us to use his music here on the podcast. Jeff.
Yeah.
Anything before we go?
No. Just go watch The Man with Two Brains. It's really good. Oh, she's not.